Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm coming to you live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Clay Travis, my main man, is in Nashville, Tennessee. So we'll be bringing you all of the latest. Thanks for being here with us. 800-282-2882 if you want to chat with us. And let's just say we got a ton of news today. It's been a big week already with the massive butt kicking. Clay uses a different word. I should use that word too. But massive butt kicking that the Democrats received in Virginia. A super close call in New Jersey. In fact, it looks like the Republican there is not going to just go out quietly. There may be some challenge because it's so close. There's some people talking about the possibility of a recount. So we'll look into all the latest on the election front. But today we've got a lot to talk about. I'm about 40 minutes drive, I believe, from the actual place where the courthouse where the Kyle Rittenhouse trial is underway. We haven't spoken about that yet this week. A lot of people are very focused on how that outcome is going to go. Plus, you've got an arrest of someone, a U.S.-based Russian-born analyst who was a provider of the initial lies for the dirty anti-Trump dossier the Hillary campaign paid for. People are going to prison for this. Durham is doing some work. A little late, but I guess better. Well, maybe better late than never. We'll get into that. But first, the biggest story of the day by far. We have the Biden administration rolling out, more specifically, we knew for a while that they were going to do this, but now we have the actual 490 pages or so of the OSHA regulation that has been unveiled here. Here's just the latest of it. We got to break this down for you. You have the Biden administration setting January 4th for all companies with a certain number of employees to make sure their workforces are fully vaccinated. This will affect about 84 million private sector workers. This was announced, as you remember, back in September. Businesses with over 100 employees or 100 or more are mandated to get vaccinations for all employees, or workers who refuse must undergo weekly testing. That's the situation as it stands right now. Clay, we have been warning about this. We've known it was coming. Now we see how this is actually going to be implemented. And I think we should ask a lot of questions. We should push back a lot on this madness. One is, what exactly are we told this is supposed to accomplish, given that the virus is mutating rapidly? These vaccines are highly imperfect, to say the least, in terms of their protection. They only last a matter of months. Isn't this setting up a permanent cycle of vaccination if we were to comply even this first time around, which I know a lot of people are not going to?
Yeah, there are so many big legal questions being asked here. And we've been, I think of anybody out in the media, the most anti-vaccine mandate of anyone that has an audience, certainly approaching the one that we do. And just to sort of reinforce for everybody out there, you had to get a vaccine in order to attend your brother's wedding in New York, but you had held out because you had COVID already and you had natural immunity. I've had COVID. I have not been vaccinated yet because I have natural immunity. And so we have fought aggressively for natural immunity to be factored in some way as it pertains to vaccine mandates. And also, obviously, we've been fighting against vaccine mandates themselves. But I think there are several things worth taking note of here. First of all, they released this 2 days after Election Day. I mean, if you want to know how political this is, the Biden administration, which announced this in September, held off on publicly stating this until 2 days after Election Day, because I think they knew that vaccine mandates were going to be wildly unpopular with many people out there, not just Republicans, by the way. A lot of people are pro-vaccine, but anti-vaccine mandate and anti-requiring people. And in fact, that was the position the Biden administration adopted for months until they flip-flopped on this issue and suddenly said, no, we're going to mandate it. The other thing that I think is going to be massive here is January 4th is the start date, effectively, where this rule goes into effect. They managed to accede to business demands because of supply chain issues. Massive numbers of big businesses went to the Biden administration and said, please, during the holiday season do not implement any kind of vaccine mandate. So this is not going into effect until after, theoretically, the start of the holiday season. The question here, and this is going to be litigated, and this is where I believe the Supreme Court needs to step up and say the answer is no, is does the federal government have the authority under OSHA to mandate this vaccine? And I think, again, this is important, Buck, because I'm putting my lawyer hat on here. The authority under OSHA, they are using an administrative agency's powers expansively in the same way that they tried to do with the CDC and the eviction ban. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't use the CDC to get an eviction ban. You would need to take this to the legislature, right? And I don't think there's any doubt, and Joe Biden's not going to be asked about this because most of the media is complicit in spreading and endorsing this idea. But if this were trying to go in front of the House or Senate, and if they were saying, hey, can we have a federal vaccine mandate that we pass through the House or the Senate? There's no way it passes, right? Not any way possible. So Joe Biden's trying to use an executive agency, OSHA, that has never been used in this manner before, an administrative agency, in order to implement a federal vaccine mandate. And I don't believe it's going to be applied. Now, the other wrinkle here, Buck, and I spent a lot of time thinking about this and reading about it as soon as it came out this morning. How does the weekly testing factor in? Who's going to pay for it? And is that going to somehow eliminate? Because it's not technically a vaccine mandate, right? You can continue to get weekly testing. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how that's going to be implemented by courts of law, because it's not technically a vaccine mandate. There is weekly testing, but that can be very expensive. How is that going to be handled? These are all big questions that a lot of companies are going to be grappling with.
I also think at some level, yes, they delayed this, but isn't it fascinating as well that the Biden administration rolling this out with this specificity comes at a time when we were asking the question on this show just yesterday, are they going to moderate or double down? And for anyone who's wondering, the answer is on a lot of this stuff, they're going to double down. They are angry. And understand this. The Democrats view the voters of Virginia who came out, including the suburban moms who are the difference makers, who decided they'd had enough of the craziness in the schools. They came out. They had voted for Biden. They had voted for Obama. They had voted for Hillary. And they changed their minds because of bad decisions and bad outcomes the Democrats enforced on them. And when the Democrats have all their surrogates on TV, Clay, spewing venom at them about how they're racist, understand that contempt for people who aren't going along with the Democrat plan here or on anything is very real. The Democrat elites, the Biden administration, the people that are making the decisions around him, for him, they view the people that are upset about this as a problem. The Democrats, by and large, sure, they'll give a little bit of lip service. They'll talk about how, oh, maybe we need to moderate our wokeness a little bit. No, they actually just think the problem here is there hasn't been enough of the mandates. They haven't gotten enough of their way. So I already see this as just part and parcel of them going with the double down approach to everything that we're seeing. And that's why it's also a moment where, for everybody, and I've been saying this, Clay, this goes back to even before you and I teamed up here for this fantastic radio show, telling people, don't think you're safe from the Fauciite madness because you're in a red state. Right. Now everyone's seeing yet another level of this. You're bringing up the constitutional issue. I'm not as, I mean, you haven't said one way or the other. You believe it's unconstitutional. I believe it's unconstitutional.
Yes.
Do we really think there are five Supreme Court justices who will step up and do it? Clay, I mean, to say it's a 50-50 proposition is kind of obvious in a sense, right? But I think it could go either way. You've seen some of the vaccine mandates stuff already that's gone up to the Supreme Court level just recently, I believe. And I think it was 6-3 in favor of the mandate, at least in one instance, where they were trying to get a delay. So I'm not confident in this. And that's a reminder for everybody that what they want to do in D.C., if you're listening to us right now and you live in Texas or Florida or Montana or South Dakota or wherever, you know, even if you're in a red state, you feel like you're safe, Clay, Fauciism comes for you wherever you are.
Well, and remember the other element of this, and you could do, by the way, we got some young people out there who are interested one day in going to law school, or some older people who may be like, hey, I don't love my current job. I'm interested in law school. This is a law school hypothetical on many levels. There will be entire law school courses taught on the COVID era and the law that emerges. And remember, the law typically follows significantly behind the reality. And the conflict here that is the most pronounced is not individual against government. It's arguably government against government, because as you rightly point out, we have got a lot of red states that are implementing the exact opposite rule that the federal government is trying to implement.
And, this is where plenary powers, I think, are so important, because we established at the beginning of this pandemic, right, Clay, that the states, in some cases, unfortunately, like a place like New York, where they're sending people into nursing homes with COVID and making bad decisions.
Yes.
But states have a lot of authority under quarantine and under health emergencies to manage for their residents, for the people there. Well, when did the federal government all of a sudden get that power, too? So that's where I think we see there may be an even stronger. It may be more so that they can't just override the states. That's where you see this is federal overreach, right? That's where I think we're going.
And ironically here, remember, everybody on the resistance was convinced that Donald Trump was an awful dictator. He actually allowed a lot of individual state and city powers during the course of COVID. He wasn't overruling Andrew Cuomo. He was trying to support him. He wasn't overruling Gavin Newsom by and large. He was trying to support him. And so the irony here is Joe Biden has come in and ended up with the expansionist narrative, what supposedly liberals were afraid of, which was Donald Trump as a dictator. Now Joe Biden is coming in and trying to use federal supremacy to override state federalism, which is a massive constitutional battle on so many fronts as well.
And I think that's where a lot of the frustration right now is coming from, because anybody who thinks about it would have to say, so when there's a Republican president, Fauciism wins in all the blue states. When there's a Democrat president, Fauciism wins in all the states.
Yes.
Right? Essentially get their way almost everywhere, almost all the time. And then when there's a Democrat administration, it doesn't even matter that there are red states anymore that want to take a different approach. It doesn't matter that there's Florida or Texas. They're forcing a showdown of this. And it is, I think, going to go up the Supreme Court. And we have to see, because my other problem with this, Clay, is they're not going to talk about this. And we should come back and get into the next step. What do they do here? They're getting hospitals to go along with it by threatening Medicare and Medicaid funding.
Yes.
That's happening at the federal government level. What's another big federal agency? We're on a lot of federal dollars that go into even red states, even places where you think you're safe from this. Education dollars.
Yes.
They're going to try to mandate this for kids if COVID continues to have the caseload that it does throughout this winter, if it gets worse. They're going to try a federal mandate for children based on Department of Education pressure. I think that's the ultimate move. That's the final, but I think they might get there.
So I was just going to say, Buck, if you think the mask battle has been significant, what I've been saying is that's a water gun fight compared to what happens when somebody tries to mandate COVID vaccines for kids. And again, the positive on this, Buck, is I think it could take so long. We need to keep talking about the legalities here and how it's going to play out as you kind of look at all these different angles.
Online privacy is important. What you search for, what you write, both of those actions are private. How do you maintain your own privacy online? With a VPN, a virtual private network. Now, choosing a VPN you trust is equally as important. We recommend just one, the one we think is the best one. That's ExpressVPN. Here's why. ExpressVPN doesn't log your online activity like other VPNs do. They also don't sell it like other VPNs do. ExpressVPN has gone as far as to develop a technology called Trusted Server that makes their VPN servers incapable. That's right. They can't store any data at all. They've also got amazing speed with ExpressVPN, faster than ever before. So buffering's not going to be an issue for you. ExpressVPN's blazing fast. But the thing that really sets it apart, Clay, how easy it is to use. Look, I'm not some super tech savvy guy. I've got the app on my phone. I've got it running. It's easy.
No doubt. That's why you need to protect yourself before you wreck yourself with the VPN we use and trust. Use my link right now, expressvpn.com/clay today, and get an extra 3 months for free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/clay. Visit expressvpn.com/clay to learn more. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Big wins on Tuesday, big battles coming on Thursday. We told you this was not over as Joe Biden officially doubles down on what I would say is a far left-wing agenda. And Buck, we should also point out that this story is going to give some cover to the Build Back Better initiative, which is potentially going to be voted on in the House today. So Nancy Pelosi, we asked how Democrats would respond. At least in the House, they've responded by expanding the Bernie budget that has been whittled down because of Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And most of the attention, I mean, I really do think that most of the attention is going to be on this vaccine mandate, which doesn't go into effect until January 4th. And meanwhile, up on Capitol Hill, they may be stealthily advancing the biggest expansion of the federal government since the 1960s. So in addition, Buck, to waiting until 2 days after Election Day to drop this after announcing it back in September, they've also dropped it on the same day that they may vote on infrastructure in the House. And remember, infrastructure is already passed in the Senate, and that the Bernie budget may also be passed in the House as well. Now, maybe Manchin and Sinema are going to stand athwart the passage in the Senate under the reconciliation bill. But there's a lot going on all of a sudden. And I think on some level that feels like it may well be by design, sort of just throw so much out there that the news is difficult keeping up with. Now,
I mean, Clay, can I just say, it's like the Democrats are driving around in their parents' SUV and they've knocked over a bunch of mailboxes taking turns. And they're like, you know what we should do? Go faster.
Yes. It is kind of wild to find ourselves here. And, you know, the other aspect of this is timing. So this goes into effect on January 4th. Presumably, there will be massive numbers of lawsuits being filed all over the country, both by companies that don't want to comply with a mandate. I believe, to their credit, the Daily Wire has already announced, hey, we're not going to comply, and they're filing a lawsuit, but also by states. And so the procedural posture here, Buck, is going to get really complicated for ultimately state Supreme Courts, and also where this would have to be resolved, the federal Supreme Court. Well, Clay, and how long will it take?
The Democrats established, and everyone should remember this because this is essential, they established repeatedly during the Trump administration, and when I say Democrats, I mean Democrats in black robes on judges' benches, federal judges, universal injunctions. You could have one judge here come up with a universal injunction at the federal level to say, sorry, can't implement this vaccine mandate as it's set forth. They're giving some time, I think, to allow the legal battles to play out a bit because they're trying to avoid, they're trying to hope that more and more companies just keep getting people vaccinated. But remember, yes, if there's no stay on this, once it goes into effect, I mean, once someone's gotten the shot, they've gotten the shot, right? So it doesn't matter if the process drags out too long, too far. For a lot of people, they're not going to have the chance to see where this goes.
Yeah, no doubt. And we need to continue to break all this down and many other stories as you talked about. In the meantime, you want a great deal? How about Pure Talk? You can get the exact same 5G wet network using the exact same towers as one of the big carriers, whether it's AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. But in the meantime, you can keep your same number and your same cell phone and get an incredible offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network, just $30 a month. And if you want unlimited data, you can still save a fortune. Plus, you can get brand new iPhones for the holiday season. iPhone 12, just $479. And Scott and Cheryl came out and said, hey, we're saving $95 a month. Hundreds of dollars a year you can save. All you have to do is check out Pure Talk. 30-day risk-free guarantee. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. That's 50% off your first month. #250, say Pure Talk.
Visit ClayandBuck.com for audio and transcripts of your favorite segments from today or any show. Share them and spread the word. Plus videos, articles, and more. ClayandBuck.com, inspired by Rush.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. I'm here live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. First time in this place. Lovely, lovely folks. Everyone's really, really nice. We got Clay Travis in Nashville, Tennessee, and we have a massive victory just earlier in the week in Virginia, which we've been talking to you about. And one of the things that comes up immediately is, how do the Democrats respond to what was just an enormous kick in the face? If you're paying attention to national politics, it's a huge warning. In fact, if anything, my concern is that they start to adjust in response, that they turn down the wokeness. They recognize that dissatisfaction with the Democrat control of the school system, treating it like a bunch of Soviet commissars who don't have to answer any questions, who will have the secret police come and get you, courtesy of Merrick Garland from the DOJ, if you show up at a parent-teacher meeting and ask too many questions, or the school board meeting, rather. Same idea. So that's what we would think about now. Well, how do they respond? Joe Biden's out there, always a little bit confused. And if you're looking for intellectual heft, well, there's been no room at the Joe Biden Inn for a long time on that one. But here he is telling everybody that the election loss in Virginia, you know, it's a bunch of stuff, always happens, you know, no big deal. Play it.
As leader of the Democratic Party, how much responsibility do you take for the dismal results in Virginia and beyond last night?
Well, look, yesterday reminded me of that one of the sacred rights we have is to be able to go out and cast our votes. And remember that we all have an obligation to accept the legitimacy of these elections. I was talking to Terry to congratulate him today. He got 600,000 more votes than any Democrat ever has gotten. And no governor in Virginia has ever won when he's of the same, or he or she's the same party as the sitting president. What I do know is, I do know that people want us to get things done.
But Clay, he just gives it's the same speech in different variations from this guy, probably for the last 40 years, but it's as though he's living in a fantasy land. And then you look at the actions the Democrats take. Instead of viewing this as a repudiation, they're actually finding ways to justify this. It's racism, and the people just didn't get enough of what we're getting. We got to give them more, Clay. We got to triple mask them, if you know what I mean. We got to lock them down longer. We got to force them, bend them to our will. Then they'll love us. That's what the Democrats actually think.
Yeah, and I think it's going to lead to even more abject disaster in 2022. But the way to think about this from a larger perspective is Joe Biden's an accidental president. And what do I mean by that? Jimmy Carter was an accidental president in that something that he did not control in any way arose and benefited him at the exact right time. Watergate. Jimmy Carter gets elected. His presidency is mostly a disaster, and on the positive side, it led to Ronald Reagan. But for COVID emerging exactly when it did, right as Joe Biden already had the nomination, when they could lock him in his basement and he could triple mask, like you said, and he could say, oh, all of COVID is Donald Trump's fault. That's basically the entire Joe Biden administration, campaign was, COVID is Donald Trump's fault. And the media, because they were so obsessed with getting Donald Trump out of office, acquiesced to that storyline. And that's why almost no one has pointed out, even with vaccines, Joe Biden is on track to have way more people die in 2021 of COVID than died in 2020 when Trump was president. The media has mostly stopped with their trackers. They mostly stopped with the front page stories about all the deaths and everything else. They used COVID, Biden in conjunction with his allies in the media, to beat Donald Trump. And it had nothing to do with Joe Biden running a good campaign. He got the benefit of Trump being in office when COVID hit. And he rode that to the presidency. And now people are having buyer's remorse all over the country.
And they intentionally created more fear and anxiety than there ever should have been.
And now they don't know how to dial it down.
Because it was a useful weapon against Donald Trump in the election. And now they've created this monster that they don't know how to ride the tiger. They don't know where to take the dragon, so to speak. They don't know what to do with this thing other than to just keep pushing harder. Because the moment people step back from Fauciism, the moment they actually see this for what it is, that the virus is going to virus, there's very little, if any, difference between states that did the most versus states that did the least in terms of their COVID cases, in terms of fatalities. That's just reality. Instead, they have to push even harder all the time. And that's where we see now, we were talking about vaccine mandates for all businesses with over 100. Now they're going to say there's the out of testing, but we all know the testing is meant to be onerous, annoying, and expensive, so you just finally break down and get the shot. Or that your company says, look, we just can't deal with this anymore, get the shot. That's what they're going to do to everybody. Now they want to do this for kids. They just approved the vaccine for children. This is the phase they go through. Now it's all, oh, look at how great this is. It's going to turn into, okay, this was great, but guess what? We don't want another COVID surge next winter. So this coming fall in New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and California and name a blue state, you're going to have vaccine mandates for kids. Clay, here is Joe Biden yesterday talking about this. I found this. I mean, I actually think people have lost their minds. And I think Joe Biden at some level is one of them. And I don't just mean because of the old age thing. I'm talking about he just has bought into this at some level, because this sounds crazy to me. Let's play it. We'll react to it. 19.
After months of rigorous and independent scientific review, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, authorized, and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, recommended a COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 through 11. For parents all over this country, this is a day of relief and celebration. After almost 18 months of anxious worrying every time the children, your child had a sniffle or started to cough, well, you can now protect them from this horrible virus.
That's outrageous.
Yes.
He is pandering to people with an anxiety disorder that the Democrats created. You and I
yes.
both know, children, Clay. What level of risk?
Virtually zero. And I want to keep hammering this home, because at some point, a lot of you out there listening can share a segment from the show and say, hey, just go listen to these guys. They're not going to try to terrify you. They're going to give you the facts. Your kid right now is under more danger of drowning, dying in a car accident, being murdered, of the seasonal flu than they are from COVID. So if you've been sitting around for 18 months terrified of what might happen to your kids, then you are buying into what I call the media fear porn industry, because it is in no way a rational reflection of what parents should be concerned about. I've got three young kids, Buck. They matter more to me than anything in the world. I understand how easy it is to scare parents, because by nature, all of us, dads and moms, are fearful. But I think what you saw in Virginia and what you are seeing nationwide is the mom revolution is a lot of moms know. They know that they're being lied to now. They've had time to do their own research. That one thing we know, moms all get together and talk. And that's why I think sharing real data matters. Buck, on Tuesday night, I went and spoke to a big mom group here in Williamson County, hundreds of moms there. They are all taking up arms against this ridiculousness. And the challenge that the Democrats have is it's a little bit like the boy who cried wolf. It's harder and harder to scream that kids are under danger from COVID when the data continues to reflect that it isn't true.
If we had a real press corps in this country, there are some real journalists. We do not have a real press corps. If we did, they would ask the president the next time they were able to give him questions, sir, you say that parents should feel relief and it's celebration
yes.
that 5 to 11-year-olds can get this vaccine. Just so everyone's on the same page and we're looking at the data and we're looking at this honestly, what is the percentage of mortality? What is the risk
yes.
for children 5 to 11, sir? The CDC has that data, and he should have to tell the American people, well, it's about 1 in 1,000,000.
Yes.
And then look at them and repeat his idiocy about relief and celebration. If you're worried about a 1 in 1,000,000 chance, don't ever leave your house for anything. Just sit there like some kind of a fungus on a log. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
That's reality. And the Biden administration will not let people know that truth, will not say that truth, because they're appalling. Clay, we've got also this arrest, by the way, to get to. For the Russia collusion dossier.
Yes.
A lot more on the fallout from Virginia. And I want to talk to you, because I'm talking to folks here about it. I've been looking at it closely. I know you have too. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial here. Is this just a case of self-defense? I mean, it looks like it to me. It's
yep.
just down the road from where I am. So we want to get into that coming up probably in the next hour. You know, nearly a third of American adults suffer from chronic pain every day. This can happen with overexertion, age, or even too much exercise. But there's a source of relief, a solution, and it's called Relief Factor. In nearly 7 out of 10 cases, listeners trying Relief Factor to relieve pain go on to order more. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. It's got 4 key ingredients, and Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product. It addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, with nearly 70% going on to order more. I mean, Clay, people should ask themselves, is this the right move for them? I know your wife, my dad, they love it.
They do love it, and it's made a difference for them. And you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us as we roll through the Thursday edition of the program. You know, everyone has gone insane in the Democratic Party, But what's amazing is, Buck, they can't even take the right lessons from the ass kicking that they took on Tuesday. We got a montage here of left wingers on television saying, hey, the only reason we lost was because Americans are a bunch of racists. Listen to this.
Glenn Youngkin played the race card for a reason, because he knows it works on certain white voters.
He did stoke white grievance politics to mobilize the Republican base.
He's laundered Trump's really sort of disgusting, flagrant out-racism. Yeah. He's wrapped it in education.
Yep. Education,
right.
Which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching about race.
That's the fundamental problem for these parents and this anti-CRT movement. They don't like the way whiteness is being portrayed in these new, more inclusive lessons.
Yeah. This wasn't about those pocketbook issues. This was about how white kids feel talking about what black kids go through.
The subtext of all this was, we can't let these black and brown people run the country.
I think all the CRT stuff is trumped up dog whistling.
Some of it was dog whistle racism.
So wait, is there CRT or not? Because they can never seem to agree, Clay, on whether that does CRT exist or not even. Then they'll say, okay, I guess it does exist. But let's understand this critical race theory. And first of all, it's not some, they always pretend like, oh, it's some complicated legal PhD thing. You have to, no, it's basically, white racism is everywhere and white people need to constantly apologize for it and check their privilege and all this other stuff. That is, you know, the everything is racist line that you and I talk about the Democrats have. That's actually the distillation of critical race theory. Okay. Everything is racist. That's what critical race theory is actually teaching people at the end of the day. I find it fascinating that in all these lesson plans, they're learning that they talk about white oppression and white privilege. And there's all this essentially this attack on whiteness as a deeply damaging and oppressive force in America. And if you say to that, I don't like that. I think that's divisive. I think that's unfair. I actually think that's kind of racist. Then they say your objection to it is racist. So there's no way out of this, right? This
Correct.
Is the circular game they play.
Everything, again, it boils down to the three-word Democratic Party plan as we roll into the midterms now. Everything is racist. And the lesson that they took, unfortunately, from their win in 2020, which, as we said earlier, was an aberrant result predicated on COVID, a once-in-a-century new novel virus arriving in the same year as in a presidential election year, the lesson they took is, our woke agenda worked. The reality is what you saw in suburban voters. No. There was a lot of fear. And what worked was COVID fear porn got a lot of people in the suburbs to be willing to support Joe Biden. And as soon as the COVID, I think it was like seventh or eighth on the list of the polls that I saw for Virginians about what mattered the most. As soon as COVID receded back down the flow chart, it was number one or number two for a lot of people who voted in 2020. Then all of a sudden, the Democratic overreach becomes more excessive. And that's why Democrats are trying to shove through so much right now, Buck, because they know they may not have the presidency in the House or the Senate again for 10 or 15 years.
And the Democrats are lying to themselves about who and why, who came out against this and why they came out against this in Virginia. There's also been some interesting analysis in the last couple of days from people, including Democrats, who want to look honestly at what happened here.
Yes.
Not delude themselves in everything is racist. Everything is racist, which we know is what the Democrats always tell themselves when things don't go their way. And of course, it's fascinating, especially when you have a lot of like white multimillionaires on TV who are also parroting the everything is racist mantra. You're like, well, what about your white privilege? Somehow, you don't count,
yeah.
Right? Because you vote Democrat. But anyway, the truth here is that in Virginia and other states as well, there were a lot of even center left parents, people that are kind of more moderate Democrats, who were furious about what they've been put through with the school system. Absolutely furious about how long they were shut down. Blue states shut down longer. They shut down harder. They were more extreme than red states. And what benefit did those places get from it? So you had the shutdowns, the anger from that, from people who are really observing this. You had greater actual parental connection to the lesson plans. Then you had, oh, don't you dare get upset about what you as a parent are observing now. I mean, Clay, we often think, oh, what's the part of the state that most, you know, big S or little s state, that most interacts with people? We think, oh, maybe law enforcement, or, you know, we'll always talk with the DMV. It's actually the public school system.
Yes.
That's actually the government that people are dealing with the most. And I think there was a much broader frustration, including a lot of Democrats and independents in places like Virginia from what they've seen. And so they were more open to, oh yeah, the CRT thing is, I can't believe they're learning this stuff. They shut down our schools and then they teach our kids this crap. So I think it was kind of a double whammy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that what's going on right now is Democrats on some level have at least early on allowed a panic to set in based on what happened on Tuesday. And they're going to try to mandate you harder, and they're going to try to big government you more, and they're going to try to push all of this through under the guise of we have to do something as their game plan for 2022. The problem, I think, that they're going to have, and I'm curious whether Manchin, for instance, in West Virginia is willing to hold the line, is the moderates are saying, no, you're leading us directly off a cliff. If you thought 2021 was bad, national federal vaccine mandates coupled with the largest expansion of the federal government since Lyndon Baines Johnson with the smallest majority that we've ever seen is going to destroy us in 2022. Who wins that internal Democrat civil war? We'll talk about it here in a moment, among other things, with Jim Jordan a long time ago.
We love Jim Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah, he'll be
Jim
doing Jordan it in a few minutes. I'll make some corny dad jokes about wrestling, because Jim Jordan was a top wrestler, if you don't know that, back in the day. And we'll talk about that. Also, Clay, I really do want to break down in the next hour, if we get some time, Kyle Rittenhouse, because it's just such a big news week. Haven't spent as much time on it. I'm here in Wisconsin, down the road from the courthouse by about 40 minutes from where they're actually going through this trial right now. A lot of thoughts on that one. It brings in BLM, wokeness, self-defense, English common law even. We'll get into all that coming up in the next hour. Stick around.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.